Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this evening, Spiritual Warfare at Christmas, based on Matthew chapter 1, these verses. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. For the members of our congregation, I won't ask you to look inside your worship folder to find a sermon outline. There is no sermon outline tonight, because tonight I have for you a special kind of sermon, a story sermon. Spiritual warfare at Christmas? Isn't Christmas supposed to be a time of peace and goodwill? Well, yes, it is that. But it's so much more, including spiritual warfare. Spiritual beings are found all throughout Holy Scriptures. Angels singing, demons harassing, our Lord Jesus casting out demons. Ever since Satan, in the guise of a serpent, tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden, we have known this. There is more to our world around us than meets the naked eye. If Satan could prevent Christ in the cradle, there'd be no Christ on the cross. Let me say that again. If Satan could have prevented Christ in the cradle, there would be no Christ on the cross. And don't you think he tried? The spiritual conflict was no doubt greater than we can possibly imagine. But we can be sure of this, we know who won, because we know that Jesus came into our world. He was born, he died, and he rose again. So tonight, on Christmas Eve, I'm going to take you on a journey you've never taken before. Now, it will be an imaginary journey, but it'll be a journey with Gabriel, one of the only angels called by name in Holy Scripture, the same Gabriel who announced the birth of Jesus. Behind this journey is the biblical reality of spiritual warfare between Almighty God and Satan and the powers of darkness. Gabriel now will speak to us in his own words. Gabriel, just the sound of my Lord's voice stirred my very being. I left my post. I marched into God's throne room. I folded my wings to cover my face. I kneeled before him. Yes, my Lord. Then God spoke in a tone that I knew this meant his request was of great importance. The Lord God said to me, Gabriel, you have served me well. But now your most important work lies ahead. Your next assignment is to carry to the earth the message of my greatest gift for all of humankind. Before my Lord continues speaking, a raspy, guttural voice interrupted. Ah, and what treasure will you send to earth this time? My back stiffened at the irreverent tone. My stomach turned at the sudden stench. Such foul odor could only come from one being. I drew my sword and prepared to do battle with Lucifer, the former servant of God, now an angel cast out of heaven called Satan. But the Heavenly Father's hand on my shoulder stopped me. Worry not, Gabriel. He will not be able to do any harm. I stepped back and glanced at God's enemy. One time, Lucifer, the shining one. Now, Satan, the liar, the tempter, cast out of heaven, wretched, yet still powerful in appearance. "What are you staring at, Gabriel? Are you glad to see me?" he hissed. I had no words for that fallen angel. I hadn't seen him since his heavenly rebellion, and what I now saw repulsed me. His skull-like face covered with a hooded garment. "The news you have for Gabriel must be urgent," spat out Satan to the Lord. My Lord's response was a pronouncement. "The time has come for my most precious gift to mankind." Satan chuckled wickedly. "Mankind? Ha! You gave Adam his choice, and he chose me in my temptation. Ever since the fruit was plucked in the garden, I've held your children captive. They fell. They fell fast. They fell hard. Look at the shape their world is in. They're mine. You have failed. Ha! I thwart everything you do. You soften hearts, God. I harden them. You teach the truth. I cover it up. You offer joy. I steal it. You give life. I destroy it." Satan pranced around God's throne room, bragging about his deeds. The betrayal of Joseph by his brothers and Joseph's imprisonment in Egypt? I did that. Moses' banishment to the desert after he killed the Egyptian? That was me. David's illicit escapade with Bathsheba? I was there. I could go on and on. You must admit, Lord God, my work is pretty crafty. The Lord replied, "Crafty, yes. Effective, no. I know what you will do before you do it. I used the betrayal of Joseph to deliver both the Egyptians and the people of Israel from famine. Moses' wilderness banishment became his wilderness training to lead my people through it to the promised land. And yes, David did commit adultery with Bathsheba. But he repented of his sin and became a far greater king, an example to generations of the power of my forgiveness. Satan, you are merely a tool in my hand. Your deceptions have only served as a platform for my mercy. Every act you have intended for evil, I've turned it around and used it for good." Satan began to growl, and soon the throne room was filled with a roar that must have quaked even the foundations of hell. But my Lord just smiled and said, "Feeling a little ill, O Lucifer?" Satan marched around the room, breathing loudly and searching for words. Then he hissed, "Just show me one person on earth who always does what is right and obeys your will. Just show me one person who is sinless. Just show me one person who would die for all the others. There's not one, not one Savior from your people. Not Abraham, not Moses, not David, not Elijah." My Lord God stood up from his throne room, and the holy light was so intense that Satan fell backward and hit the ground. He said to him, "You think you know so much, fallen angel, but you know so little. Come, read from the book of life the name of the one who will call your bluff and shut your mouth. Read the name of the one who will come and storm the very gates of your hell." Satan rose from where he fell and stood by the book. He read the name. "Emmanuel," he muttered to himself. And then he spoke in a tone of disbelief. "Emmanuel, God with us? No, not even you would do that. Not even you would go that far. The plan is bizarre. Do you know how dark I've made the earth of those humans? It's putrid down there. It's evil. It's mine, declared the Lord. And I will reclaim what is mine. You know, O fallen one, that I am God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God the Son, Emmanuel, will become flesh. He will feel what my creatures feel. He will see what they see. He will weep as they weep, but he will be sinless. He will bear their sin. He will die their death. He will rise from the grave, and he will spit in your face. Satan stood speechless. My Lord continued, and because of him, because of my Emmanuel, my children will no longer fear you or your hell. Satan stepped back, and his reply was childish as he whined, they will too, they will too. My Lord replied, through my Emmanuel, I will take away all their sin. I will take away the power of death, and without sin and without death, Satan, you have no power. Around and around in a circle, Satan paced. And out loud, he asked the question that I wanted to ask, but I dare not ask. He asked, why? Why would you do this? My Lord's voice was deep and powerful. And he said, because I love them. The two faced each other. Neither spoke. God robed in light, Satan covered in the fabric of evil. Satan broke the silence when he hissed, where will we do battle, this Emmanuel and me? My Lord declared, on a hill called Calvary. If he makes it that far, said Lucifer. And he marched out of our presence. My Lord walked back to the Book of Life and read aloud some truly wonderful words. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then he turned to me and he instructed me, Gabriel, you shall go to a young girl named Mary. She lives among my chosen people. You shall tell her that she shall bear the promised Savior, the Son of God, whose title is Emmanuel. She and her husband will call him by the name Jesus. Thy will be done, I replied, and took my place to lead the angelic host earthward. Soon we winged our way, and we had no idea the battle would come upon us so soon. For soon we were entangled by an invisible net, and before we could draw our swords, our attacker drew the net so tightly we could barely move. I could hear the demons mocking us. You're the best of heaven? Ha! Now you'll face your true master. But their celebration was premature. My Lord had prepared me for this very thing. I began the chorus and my brother angels joined in. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Over and over again we sang this. And weakened by God's word of truth, the hellhounds dropped the net and they fled. I and God's angels continued our journey earthward. But then their master appeared. Satan's voice was now soothing, but it was still the voice of death. He spoke as the father of lies. Well, Gabriel, I see you have made it to my domain. Good for you. Unlike his filthy robes he last wore, now he wore robes of brightness. His appearance was so overpowering, my angelic hosts looked upon him with awe. They begin to lower their swords. This is how he works. Without lifting a weapon, he disarms. Without a touch, he seduces. He threw back his head and he laughed. His power was real. This earth is my domain. Bow down to me, angels of the Most High. But again, my Lord's words came to me. Words he would later have St. Paul write in the book you call the Bible. And with God's strength, I proclaim the truth of his word, neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And then I, along with my brother angels, drew out our swords, the swords of God's word, the sword of God's truth, and we plunged them deep into the heart of Satan. And I declared, Almighty God, save us. To hell with you, Satan. To hell with you, you liar. A wave of filth and stench now filled the air. We drew back our shields and saw Satan for as he really was, dressed in filth. His skull-like face contorted in pain. His voice now hissed, I'll be back. I'll be back. And he left us. God's word is powerful indeed. I now went alone to the young girl named Mary. With my Lord's gentleness and love, I gave her the message that she would soon bear the Son of God, Emmanuel. She would name him Jesus. His very name means the Lord saves. I spoke to her the message my Lord gave me to say. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Sometime later, Mary and her faithful husband Joseph were traveling to the small town of Bethlehem where the child was to be born. As soon as they got closer to their destination, I and my angel battalion traveled with them. Though we surrounded them as they walked, they didn't know we were there. I told my cohorts, stay alert. Hell does not want Emmanuel to be born. About an hour later, I sensed it. Evil. Be ready, I announced. The devil prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. At that moment, a young man approached the Holy Family. He spoke to Mary in soothing words. You look so tired on your journey. Here, drink, drink from my water pouch. I jumped into action, striking the demon's arm. Only he could see me. Beast of hell, you shall not touch this daughter of God or the child she bears. And with that, he fled. And then I overheard Mary talking to her husband. That was strange, dear Joseph. As soon as that young man offered me the water, I was full of pain in my womb. But even as he departed, that pain left me. I'm okay now. Let's continue on to Bethlehem. They finished their journey. They settled in a warm stable and animal barn, and soon a time came for Mary to give birth. I started to clear out the cattle and the sheep, but Michael, another one of my Lord's angels, stopped me. Let the animals remain, he said. Our Lord wants all of creation to witness this holy moment. Young Mary cried out with the pain of childbirth, and she gripped Joseph's arms. Within moments, the angels joined me in kneeling and covering our faces with our wings. The Savior was born, Emmanuel, God with us, this little baby Jesus. Joseph placed him in his first bed, a cradle, a feed trough. Let me tell you, all of Almighty God was in that infant. The very glory of God was in that tiny baby. We angels wanted to sing, but what do you sing to a God in a feed trough? We were silent. But somebody else was not. Though he could not draw near, we first felt and then saw the presence of Satan standing a distance from the stable. He was in pain. He was in agony. Over and over, he said just one word, "No, no, no, no." He then shook his fist at heaven and said, "First this cradle, then the cross, then the cross and the empty tomb. I am undone. I am undone." I then stood and spoke as the messenger of God. "Go to hell, you liar and tempter. Go to hell, you defeated enemy." And as he departed, the other angels of God stood, and we began our chorus, "Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest." And as I glanced at the baby in Mary's arms, wonder of wonders, he smiled. Blessed Christmas to you, 2016, in the name of Jesus, our newborn King. Amen.